The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Welcome one and all to the SB Nation NFL show. A reminder before we get started that this show is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Week 7 is just about in the books for the Football League of National. We, of course, have Monday Night Football to go tonight, but we have a whole lot of games that happened on Sunday afternoon to discuss, as we do every single Monday here on the SB Nation NFL show. You can watch us live on the SB Nation NFL Twitter page, the SB Nation NFL Facebook page, or the SB Nation NFL show YouTube channel. You can also subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a rating, write a review. Those things make us happy. Who is us? Who is we? Well, it's more of a proverbial we, but if you want to know specifically, on the ones and twos, as always, our fearless leader, Rachelle Privette, who is wonderful and perfect in every conceivable way. Hopefully she will remember that when it comes down to the MF double MVP. I am RJ Ochoa from SB Nation's blog and theboys.com. And joining me, as always, the handsome, the debonair, so smooth he makes Fred Astaire look clunky, from SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride. Start spreading the news. His New York Yankees got swept by my Houston Astros in the ALCS as of Sunday night. Pete Sweeney!
Pete. Good morning and hello. We are in what, week eight now? Almost?
No, week 7 still. Week 7.
Those one, are the rules. One of these days it'll turn to week 8, which is almost halfway.
That would be tomorrow.
In the old version of the schedule. Now it takes another half a week of week 9, but
what are you talking about? Even in the old schedule, week 8 was not the halfway point. There were 17 weeks before.
Yeah.
Not 16.
No. Good point. Good point.
I got to be honest, Pete, the Chiefs game, a little bit tough on the eyes. There's too much red. The Niners' red jerseys, mm-hmm. the Chiefs' red pants, and the Chiefs' red helmets. Not a fan.
A lot of people felt that about Super Bowl 54 and rematch that. And yeah, felt the same way yesterday, too.
But this was the Niners' throwback uniforms, right? Like, this wasn't their standard home red jerseys.
I'm not a 49ers expert. I don't know.
Well, you know what? The 49ers experts around here are pretty sad this morning. thanks to a drubbing by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Drubbing is a proper way to put it. It was a drubbing.
Right. But we, speaking of experts, Pete, sometimes we bring in an expert on one particular team, but this NFL is broken, right? This NFL is wonky. We need an expert who can take the cartridge out, blowing it, and get the game back to where it needs to be. So we have brought in the ultimate expert, the quintessential expert, all right? The effervescent expert, all right? From SB Nation, just universal, meaning supersedes all of us, all right? It is the one and only, the legendary JP Acosta on Twitter at Acosta32_JP. JP, you have the underscore. It bothers me. I gotta be honest with you. Don't like it. Maybe you should consider changing it. Although I know you're verified and that would kind of make things difficult for you.
See, I tried changing it earlier. This was like my first account when I started Twitter as just like this high school football player trying to get like, hey, watch my highlight tape. I'm pretty sure like my old Twitter account had like all my highlights from like 2017 on there. But then I was just like, yeah, I don't want anybody else seeing that other than me. So it's all gone now.
So not only did you make us feel incredibly young with the fact that you were playing high school football in 2017. But you also let us know that you have some highlights floating around on Twitter.com. So people want to search those out and let us see them. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
If you put in JP Acosta Huddle, I'm pretty sure that little highlight tape that I had when I was a senior in high school is going to be around there somewhere.
I know how I'm going to spend my Monday afternoon. That's for sure.
That's right. JP, we have brought you in today not to discuss one particular team, but two particular teams. As mentioned, you've done such a great job this season, been such a welcome addition to the SB Nation team, writing about the bigger storylines around the NFL on a national level. Last week, we were actually talking about this right before we started streaming. You wrote about how the Bucks and Packers are basically broken, the base, if you will. And so they're both down and out, and goodness gracious, down and out, especially after Sunday, the Green Bay Packers falling to the Washington Commanders 23-21. And of course, the Buccaneers falling to the Carolina Panthers. I think that one was just a little bit more surprising, certainly because of the score 21-3. I will tell you, JP, that Mike McCarthy has more wins with the Dallas Cowboys since last season started than Matt LaFleur does with the Green Bay Packers, just because I'm obligated to. But your thoughts on how broken they are, who's more broken, how high the levels of panic should be in each particular bay.
Oh, man. I think I wrote last week, of course, about should the Packers and Bucks be worried about where they are. I think at first the Bucks, my thought with the Bucks was, okay, there are some problems here, but this will probably be fixed when everybody gets healthy, right? This will all be fine when everybody gets back to full strength. They were at full strength yesterday, and they only put up 3 points on a Panthers team that's actively trying to lose. So I think there's a really like high level of panic right now for this team. I think the offense just looks all out of sorts, just mistakes from Chris Godwin, mistakes from the offensive line that was supposed to be one of the strengths of this team. Even though Ali Marpet was lost to retirement, Ryan Jensen's out for the season. You drafted guys like Robert Hainsey last year to be the eventual successor to Ryan Jensen. You drafted Luke Goedeke in the second round this year to be the left guard. You go and trade for Shaq Mason. Shaq Mason, Tristan Wirfs have solidified the right side of the offensive line. That's fine. But if you have three bad spots on the offensive line, especially with Tom Brady at this age right now, at 45, where he was never going to make people miss in the pocket, but especially now, like he is old man. So he's not going to be able to make anybody miss if there's a free rusher coming in. But it's just been really, really weird seeing this offense kind of operate, because I think they want to try and continue to run the ball and run the ball effectively out of heavier personnel, but they just can't do that. I think they're near the bottom of the league in rushing EPA in 12 personnel, 13 personnel. And they used to be one of the best teams in the league at it. And I think a more underrated part of this Bucs season in terms of who they've missed is they've missed Gronk a lot. Because Gronk was essentially an extra offensive lineman in the run game. And he was also a safety blanket in the middle of the field when everything started to break down. When Godwin was hurt last year, Brady threw the ball to Gronk a lot. He doesn't have that now. He's throwing to a co-keeft, whatever a co-keeft is. But it's just looked really bad for the Bucs, especially because it looks like they're trying so hard to continue this identity of they're going to run at you. They're going to force the issue. They're going to create these problems for you going forward. All the runs are attacking you vertically. And then Brady will throw the in breakers. Brady will throw the ball deep down the field. But he just can't do that now because there's a lot of pressure. Because the offensive line hasn't played well. They can't run the ball, so they're giving a tell every time they're in 12 personnel and under center. And Brady hasn't played that great this year. Like, this week was the first time where I'm like, wow, Tom Brady does not look good. Like, this is a really weird spot, especially for me, because, like, my entire life, Tom Brady's been good. My entire existence of being a football fan, Tom Brady has always been good. This is really weird seeing him not be good.
Yeah, this game had bad vibes all over it, I think, from the beginning with that pass to Mike Evans that should have, I think it was like 10 yards of separation. It should have went for a long touchdown and just unbelievably drops it, and it was downhill from there. Brady actually had 290 yards in this game, which was weird. He did throw it 49 times, and so it really came down to a lot of third downs. But JP, I want to ask you something about the other side of the spectrum, and it's about teams that we did not expect to have the records they have. I'm going to list three of them, and let me know if you buy or sell these teams so far. The 6-1 Giants, the 5-2 Jets, and the 4-3 Seahawks. Any of these teams really, truly capable of making noise in the NFL playoffs?
Oh, man. Of those three teams, I'm not sure if any truly make noise in the playoffs. But if I had to choose one that I would put most of my faith in.
Yeah, give me one bye. Give me one bye. Who is it?
I guess I'll go with the Giants. I'm not really sold on their entire, like, we're just going to wait until the fourth quarter and the most critical moment of the game to turn into an actual NFL team. But it's worked. I think a lot of what their offense does and why it's been such a problem for defenses is they're adaptable. They don't have to stick to one game plan. I guess the Jaguars yesterday, Daniel Jones had over 100 rushing yards because all they would do was zone read. The defensive end would crash on Saquon Barkley because that's what Saquon Barkley does. And Daniel Jones would just hit the edge. Like, I feel like Daniel Jones is in this, like, area of athlete at quarterback where, like, you don't expect him to be a great athlete because he looks very wonky. But then he's out.
He looks like Eli Manning, and Eli Manning was never capable of running like Daniel Jones can. But he's really low key one of the better athletes, I think, the quarterback in the league.
He's a legitimately great athlete at the position. He was outrunning linebackers and DBs yesterday, and I'm just like, hey, I did not expect this from Daniel Jones. But what I think the Giants do so well, and why I give a lot of credit to Brian Daboll, is they have their identity, they have their plan. But if that doesn't work, they'll adjust super quickly. I think in the first half, they tried to get a lot of like downfield passing done. They tried to get like inside runs a lot, and that just wasn't working against the Jaguars. So they just went to zone read, and that basically killed the Jaguars the entire game. I guess I'm believing in the Giants a little bit. I'm not fully on the train yet because I really do worry about the lack of depth at receiver, and they had two starting offensive linemen go down yesterday. If those two positions aren't going to be up to full speed or at any like average level, then they're not going to make any noise in the playoffs. But this is just a fun little story for the season, especially in a season like this where nothing makes sense.
I think I would have. I mean, the question wasn't mine, but I think if Breece Hall hadn't been hurt, and I think we're all expecting his season to be over, unfortunately, I think you could have made an argument for the Jets, but I get your logic. I want to go back to the Packers. JP, have you seen the line for this week's opening game for them, or the opening line for them for this week?
I have not. I know I'm going to be laughing hysterically.
Well, so they're playing on Sunday Night Football. Obviously, we all saw that in the preview last night against the Buffalo Bills. And I mean, what would you guess it is?
In Buffalo?
I believe so.
Oh, it's in Buffalo.
9.5.
I'm going to say 7.5.
It is 10.5.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, right. I think, like, you know, when, like I said, that like the shock effect is there for both of you, obviously. I think we can all like compartmentalize it and say, like, well, that makes sense. Like, again, when you contextualize the season, but it is still strange, JP. I mean, the Packers, like, it is awkward to see them. I mean, I'm not feeling awkward about it, but it is awkward to see them so like weakened and void of their powers.
It looks weird because I think this is kind of the pay the piper thing. Their process in the offseason was, okay, we're going to trade Devontae Adams. We're going to get back this draft capital. We know that our offense at the receiver position is going to be lacking for a little bit. A lot of young guys, and we're going to be relying on Randall Cobb and Sammy Watkins. So we're going to rely on the defense to kind of help us out. The defense actually played kind of well. Devondre Campbell had a pick six in this game, and they still lost. And I think this all goes to the offense at this point. I put out a tweet that basically said, like, the 2022 Packers are cosplaying as the Miami Dolphins from last year because it feels so constrained. It feels so tight. There is no easy button for any downfield passing. You had the easy button last year when you had Devontae Adams, which, of course, it's Devontae Adams. But now you're relying on Alan Lazard to be your downfield deep threat. And God bless Alan Lazard, but he's not the deep threat. He's not the deep target that you should be looking for. Romeo Dobbs was supposed to be that, but I don't think he can get on the right page as Aaron Rodgers. And Amari Rodgers just seems to just not have great days anymore. Like, he muffed the punt yesterday. He dropped a wide open touchdown pass, and it looked like Aaron Rodgers wanted to kill him. So I think it's just a lot of they paid the price for this. They knew what it was going to be coming in. But I also think a lot of the blame, like with the Bucs and Tom Brady, it goes to Aaron Rodgers. And I think the blame can be placed more on Aaron Rodgers than it can on Tom Brady.
Say it again.
And I think a lot of it comes from a lot of the Packers offense is it works best when it's on schedule, when you're playing according to the structure. Aaron Rodgers cannot make the deep balls out of structure work anymore because there is no Davante Adams, one. But two, he's been off on these deep balls all year. Like, he's either overthrowing it or they turn into DPIs, which shouldn't be DPIs because they're underthrown. But he has been off on all deep targets this year. It's just looked so – it's looked so difficult for them to generate any explosive passes in traditional structures this year. And it's been – it's kind of what you expected, but you didn't expect it to be this low where they're losing to Washington.
Well said.
Did you have a question, Peter? It's just you're a fan of the answer.
Oh no, no. I thought we were doing three. I didn't realize we have. So, let's do this then. If we're doing one more, JP. So, as you said, we don't know anything. We don't know anything about anything. It feels like through 7 weeks of the NFL season. But putting you on the spot, who wins the Super Bowl? Is it just the Buffalo Bills because they've looked the best and they beat the Chiefs, who clearly seem like the second team? Or is it the Philadelphia Eagles, who have not lost yet? If you're making a way too early pick through, as RJ insisted, almost halfway through the NFL season, who do you like right now?
I think it's going to be really hard to beat Buffalo on any game, any week in, week out, because they have one of the most explosive and dynamic offenses in the NFL. And if Josh Allen's going to continue to play like a howitzer that has attached to his right arm and being able to run like a gazelle at 6'5", 240, it's going to be hard to stop them. But I think the biggest thing is their defense is going to get healthier. They're going to give you a Christopher is going to come back. Jordan Phillips will eventually come back. And that defense that we all thought was really good to start the season is going to get even better. So I think it's going to be really hard to beat Buffalo. I really do like Kansas City because it's really hard to go against Patrick Mahomes. And what they did to the Niners yesterday was almost like masterful in terms of how to defang the strengths of a defense. But I think I would rank them Bills, Chiefs, Eagles. And the reason I really don't like – I want to believe in the Eagles. I really, really do. It's just – I do have a little bit of a question about when they're in obvious passing situations when they're down. Of course, the best way to just answer that is to never be down at all, just to beat opponents like early on. But I do think there are still some valid questions about can this offense generate downfield passing if they're down in a game?
He has spoken. JP Acosta from SB Nation. Look forward to reading more of your work throughout the season, JP. You rock. Your favorite food as you leave. Oh, your favorite food on earth.
Favorite food on earth. This is probably going to be a cop-out answer. Pizza. You can put anything on pizza. It'll be good.
What was that first word before it?
Pizza.
Well, just pizza.
Just pizza.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a special word that you said before pizza. Maybe I misheard. Mine is pepperoni. Mine's pepperoni and jalapeno pizza, for example.
Ooh, pepperoni jalapeno is good.
Jalapeno.
I think I go pepperoni and bacon. I think that's the easiest one.
That's fair. JP, you are the pepperoni and bacon of the SB Nation universe. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Acosta_JP on Twitter, and you can get his highlights from just 3 years ago on Huddle. So
you think 2017 was 3 years ago?
Well, whenever it was, you can get those.
Your math. Not off to a strong start.
4 years.
Here today, Pete. Yeah. All right, Pete, are you ready to just kind of blitz through all these things?
Big blitz guy, yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna run through every game. JP did a great job of kind of just defanging everything. I loved that term, by the way. Gonna touch on every single game. That's how we roll around here, and then give you a pick for Monday Night Football. Where do you want to start, Pete? Spin the wheel.
I guess Baltimore seems all right. Right.
The Baltimore Ravens did not collapse.
Yeah.
Completely. In the fourth quarter, they won 23-20 to get to 4-3 on the season. Big win, I guess, over the Cleveland Browns. Lamar Jackson only threw the ball 16 times for 120 yards.
Nine completions.
Did carry it.
Tebow, if you will.
It was very, very strange. Jacoby Brissett, meanwhile, threw the ball 27 times, completed 22 of them. Nick Chubb, why is he only getting the ball 16 times? I don't know. What are you doing, Kevin Stefanski? The Browns remain an enigma. My big takeaway from this, I guess, is good job, Ravens. I mean, great way to get it done. I still am. I'm not ready to say that the ceiling on them is like broken. You know what I mean? Like they've broken through, but they're winning. They're finding ways to get it done. This is a big divisional win for them.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen in the division. I think sometimes those games are tough to come up with season-long evaluations because the teams know each other so well. So you can be good against the rest of the league and somehow lose a division game. We see that all the time. So the Ravens are able to get it done. And I think you had the first point. It's been a season where they play well, they play well, they play well, and then it's iffy at the end and sometimes they blow it. And we saw them do that in this game. Where Jeremiah OK gave the Browns a late chance by punching the ball out of Justice Hill, who they kept showing on the sideline. If you're watching this game, as the Browns were trying to figure this out, they're showing him, and you're feeling the agony that goes along with possibly blowing this game. And then it was a blocked kick. Malik Harrison blocked the 60-yarder. And I know that the Ravens will be missing J.K. Dobbins, who's a big part of their offense, but Gus the Bus looked great in this game. I think he's going to be a nice replacement for him as they miss him for the foreseeable future. And then I had this stat. Sunday was Lamar Jackson's second career win as a starter with fewer than 10 completions. It's weird to say this, but they're not exactly the same, right? But like the Ravens and the Giants sort of winning similarly through their quarterback running in different ways.
It's not as stupid as it sounds. Like, I think you're maybe, I wouldn't say you're onto something, but I don't think you're far. Like you've been farther away on things before.
But I think what they're showing is that, you know, at least there's 7 weeks here that it's a formula that can work if you plan and scheme it up correctly. And the Ravens, again, they held on, which was big. I think what we're waiting for from the Ravens to put them in that possible tier with Kansas City and Buffalo is more of a dominating win, like the Chiefs showcased on Sunday. You know, you'd like to see the Ravens with a team that they should be better than. Again, we have to say that it's division, but run away with it in a sense, because they're better. They're much better than the Browns in 23-20.
See, I think what we're waiting for, like the, you know, energy was high around the Ravens surrounding the Sunday night win against the Bengals. Although Lamar had kind of the you know, shakier performance, so that kind of like prohibited everybody. Justin Tucker had the, like, whatever it was, the field goal that would have been like perfect. You know what I'm saying?
They
like,
do have they have the Buccaneers on Thursday,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. So they're on Thursday night football. Maybe they'll swing by Boca Raton because it is in Tampa, this particular game.
I mean,
so,
and at this stage, do you really even have to practice against the Bucs?
Actually, get ready for some heavy Ravens action, Pete, because not only are they on Thursday night football this week, but they're on Monday night football the following week in New Orleans.
I like watching the Ravens. I do.
I mean, who does?
They're a fun team to watch, especially Mandrews.
Ravens in the Superdome, won the Super Bowl there. I mean, you know, I like when little stories like that pop up. But
that's right.
Good for the Ravens. I don't think anybody cares about the Browns.
Don't shut the lights off on the Ravens, if you know what I'm saying.
Ooh, good job. All right, let's move elsewhere in the AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals.
Now 4-3. On the Friday shows here at the SB Nation NFL show, Pete, myself, Brandon Lee Gowden, Rob Statsgrew, we each do locks of the week. Stats locked up the Falcons. That did not work out well.
I know that
I think they were 6-point dogs.
I'm a big fan of the show, but I also know that there's a segment called the chili game of the week where you say burr, don't you? Don't you do something?
No, the burr is if you're the only person who picks a game, you're in the ice box. So you like your burr, like you're cold.
Okay.
It is the time of year for chili, though. I'm very excited for my first bowl. But stats incorrectly locked up the Falcons. 35-17, the final score. Joe Burrow was insane in this game. 34 of 42, 481, almost 500 yards. Holy crap. 3 touchdowns. Marcus Mariota just can't compete with that. Jamar Chase might be back, like all the way back, like
a little bit of a scare back, but he came back, which was good.
Right. 8 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Meanwhile, Tyler Boyd also 8 catches, 155 yards and a touchdown. Jamar Chase had a long reception of 41, Tyler a long reception of 60. I mean, just it wasn't like an offensive game back and forth. But man, the Bengals, like I'm saying, they might be back. I mean, the offense is waking up a little bit.
The 0-2 start embarrassed me because I defended the Bengals all offseason. And so they've been able to right the ship now, 4-1 in their last 5.
And you know why, by the way, you defended the Bengals? I finally got down to the core of this, because you need the Bengals to be great to justify the Chiefs collapse in the AFC title game. You need the Bengals to actually be legitimate. I finally figured this out.
I know it was not that. I think the Chiefs are connected to it, because I think Buffalo being this hot pick, and this is before they lost to the Bills, right? We're talking about the offseason now. Buffalo being this hot pick when the Chiefs won the game annoyed me. And the fact that the Bengals then beat the Chiefs, the team that beat the Bills, and the Bills were still regarded as the best. And nobody was even talking about the Bengals at all, who went to the Super Bowl and almost won it. Came drive away from winning it.
Right,
we're getting no respect. And right, look, so they had a rough start.
The Bengals had their way.
They had a rough start to the year.
They did.
And now they're under the radar again, even though they're the reigning AFC champions. And they may be right there. Like that yesterday was scary, especially this is
they survived that 4-3. I'm sorry, that 0-2 start. And to get to 4-3 is really impressive.
I don't know that I put
a lot in that transitive property, but I mean,
A plus B equals C. What is it?
They're 4-3. They're at Cleveland on Monday Night Football next week, so a week from today.
It's a blowout. That's a blowout.
And then they get the Panthers. So you're talking about very likely getting to 6-3 before the bye. Then they're out of the bye in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. So I think we're both talking about 7-3, right? By the way, why are you putting the Steelers on Sunday Night Football again? Then they're at Tennessee. A little bit of a hiccup game, playoff rematch.
What week does the change the game start kicking in? Do you know?
The flex option for Sunday Night Football. I think that's week 15. Two weeks before that, week 13, the Kansas City Chiefs are in the jungle.
Ooh.
Watch out. Last time they matched up in the jungle, Bengals won. So,
yes.
That's true. Is it not true?
The Bengals have been the team, really the only team, it feels like, that has just continued to have the Chiefs number. So it should be an interesting week when we get there.
What do you mean they're the only team? The Bills just beat them. They beat them in the regular season 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
they
lost if you lose back-to-back games in the playoffs, I don't want to hear about the regular season.
Do we think the Falcons are cute? Like, are the Falcons,
No.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. The New York Giants.
The G-Men.
Got a bit of a dramatic win. This was a different kind of win. Granted, it was another fourth quarter sort of, you know, run for them. When the fourth quarter began, they were losing 17-13, but they wound up winning 23-17. Of course, the Giants are now 6-1. I have to imagine they are a playoff team. In fact, I'm going to pull up their playoff odds while we speak here. Daniel Jones had 100 yards, over 100 yards on the ground. So did Saquon Barkley. It's not like a random mixture of events. Like it's not a sustainable mixture that what they're doing, but it's not random. It is like by design, like Brian Daboll, coach of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
As our good friend Ed Valentine would say, I don't know, RJ, I don't know who peed in your coffee this morning, but I'll tell you this. I've had my questions about Daniel Jones. I'll be honest. I've not been a Daniel Jones guy. You know, I come from that area. I have a lot of friends and family that root for New York, and I've said that to them and they don't like to hear that. You know, I'm starting to maybe feel like I might have been wrong about that. And not to say that he's ever going to be this prolific passer, but maybe his spin on the quarterback position can work. I mean, how can we? It's okay. So you get to like 3-1. You're like, all right, whatever. 4-1, 5-1. Like, at what point are we going to be like, it's working. You know, they're a 6-1 football team in the NFL. And it's been a league where nobody's really been all that consistent. Jones was 10 of 14 passing, 105 yards, and a touchdown on play action passes. And it's all set up by, you know, what Saquon can do. And as JP was describing, when the team feels like they have to focus on Saquon, Daniel Jones hitting the edge and going in and getting the yardage he needs. 107 yards on the ground is nuts for a quarterback. And then on the other side, the Jaguars are not a playoff team. Trevor Lawrence is not good enough. Stats and his constant point that we hear all the time is correct. He should be getting more of, I think, criticism, and the defense has been bad, especially these past three games without a takeaway. And like, again, it does seem comical, but they just were carved up by Daniel Jones. Now the Giants need to not turn it on in the fourth quarter. Like, similar point about the Ravens, like they need to win a complete game before I feel like, okay, I think this is a potential NFC winner. But I also think the NFC is wide open. Who's coming out of the NFC? Like, if you really put
the Eagles, right? Well, so maybe, to that point,
are they going to hold on? You know,
how many How many teams do you think have higher odds to make the playoffs than the Giants? And for what it's worth, we're going off 538's quarterback adjusted ELO forecast, just so we're clear. How many teams do you think across the NFL?
Across the NFL?
Just to make the playoffs. So like the path to that is open to interpretation.
Seven or eight?
Five. The Philadelphia Eagles have a greater than 99% chance. The Buffalo Bills, 98. Kansas City Chiefs and Dallas Cowboys, both 95. So technically fourth, if you want to count the tie. The Vikings at 93%. The New York Football Giants, 85% chance to make the playoffs. What's interesting is these are quarterback adjusted. The Giants have a 12% chance to win the division. Meanwhile, the Cowboys have a 22% chance.
Try to take your Cowboys obsession Polo Monday.
Obsession? That's my job.
Out of it. Try to take it out of it. This obsession that you have with the Cowboys. Now, do you want to play the Giants in the playoffs? I don't think you do. You know, I don't know, what are the options? I don't know.
From an NFC perspective, I would rather play the Giants than the 49ers, despite what happened Sunday. Part of that is like emotional scar tissue. I would rather play the Giants than the Rams at this point, just because I still kind of like trust the Rams, or I trust the Giants less. Like, this just is such it's weird. Would you rather, like, it's the Super Bowl. Would you rather the Chiefs play the Giants or the Vikings?
The Giants. But still, I think these Giants.
The Giants or the Bucks?
Probably the Bucks.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
So, you know, I don't think they're this team that like you should be necessarily super scared of, right? If you match up with the Giants, I feel like that's still a winnable game. What I'm getting more of the vibe of, like, you're a March Madness guy too. Like, it's that, you know, you're the 4 seed, but here's that 13 seed that won their last 10. It's really playing well. Like, that to me is what the Giants are going to be in the playoffs.
I tell you what, Giants at Seattle this week, going to be a lot of fun. We haven't spent any time on them, but the Jaguars are losers, right? Like, we're like, at this point, it's like Trevor Lawrence, call it what you want, like, you know, criticism or whatever, needs to like ramp up. Like, this is really sad. I mean, like,
and in a year, you know, and you have both sides of this, in a year where, you know, Daboll looks clearly like the coach of the year candidate, this was supposed to be Doug Peterson coming in and being able to fix it. Was just the Urban Meyer mess, right? That's it. The players are fine. He's going to be great. Like, 2-5 is not a good start for a head coach.
I just saw this, by the way, on the subject of the Bucks. Lindsey Rhodes tweeted this out. Not a single team in the NFC South is net positive in point differential this season. The best point differential in the NFC South belongs to the Bucks at 0. So the Saints and Panthers both at negative 25, the Falcons at negative 8. Let's go ahead and do that game real quick. Okay. While we talked about it with JP a little bit, but the Carolina Panthers blanked the Buccaneers 21-3. The PJ Walker game, I suppose, is how people will remember this. Dante Foreman, 118 yards, first game without Christian McCaffrey. This is like, I hate to like not talk about the Panthers, but like, this is panic, you know, alarm signals for the Bucks, right? Like, you can't lose this game. Like, even if you're I'm not trying to make up for the Packers, but like, if you're the Packers and you lost to the Commanders, at least you're like, well, you know, Taylor Heineke has shown stuff in the past, right? Like, whatever. Like, the Panthers are a mess. And you didn't lose, you got destroyed.
These are grown-ass men. And I think sometimes when they lose a head coach, like a head coach is changing in the middle of the year and there's an interim head coach, or you lose a proverbial star like Christian McCaffrey, like, everyone's saying, oh, the Panthers are giving up on the season and they're a crap team. They're just going to lose the rest of their games, yada, yada. Rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. These guys are prideful guys. And they went out. It wasn't like a dazzling one, but the defense played extremely well. The Bucks offense is probably more of a sign for the Bucks than the Panthers, but you got to credit the Panthers defense. 2 of 12 on third downs, 1 of 3 on fourth downs. And in the red zone, their one time, they had to kick a field goal. The Bucks were a mess. And the Panthers just played an efficient ball game. PJ Walker only had 177 yards, but Foreman and Hubbard, they combined for what, 170 plus rushing, when you don't have McCaffrey anymore. And so, look, the Panthers are not making the postseason, and it says much more about the Bucks, because the Bucks need to figure it out quick. You're looking at 3-5 going up against Baltimore on Thursday night. Right now they're 3-4. They are a mess.
I've said this before. I remain uncomfortable talking about Tom Brady's personal life. Like, I recognize that he's like at a level of fame to where like that's like a thing.
Yeah.
I have no, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever his personal life is right now, He does not look like this. Looks like a broken football team. And so Todd Bowles said everybody made a big deal about this quote that they were in a dark place, right? That's kind of an alarming line. And last week he had the line about, I know this was talked about a lot too, but about how players were just, they needed to like, what was the line? Like they can't be coasting off the Super Bowl or whatever it was. Like this to me is starting to look like a team, because prior to Tom Brady, the Bucks were this like joke, right? Like we're all, you know, aware of that, obviously, like they weren't like this serious team, whatever. And this is like, okay, cool. Tom Brady showed up. You guys won the Super Bowl. And then like, you just like, didn't keep the work up. You know what I'm saying? like this, you know, if Tom, like, I guess my point is if Tom Brady had in free agency joined like the Steelers, right? Like I think they'd be like sustaining themselves. You know, like there's not this culture of winning, of discipline within Tampa Bay to survive when things fall off the tracks.
The injuries to the offensive line have been a thing, but even when Brady is protected, I was watching some of this game and the throws are off, just uncharacteristic high throws from Brady, just not leading receivers like we've seen him do. He looks uncomfortable. He looks lost and bewildered.
It all looks uncomfortable. That's the best word.
I understand they're losing 21-3. Who's going to look, you know, great on that? But his body language is just like it's utter and complete misery right now for Tom Brady.
You know that body language is one of the greatest songs of all time by Name the Artist, Pete Sweeney.
Usher.
Jesse McCartney.
T-Pain. Close. So I was close.
Ooh, that body's like music to my ear. Mm. Ooh, that body's like music to my ear. Ooh. Mm. Anyway, music to my ears, Pete. You mentioned my obsession. The Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
How about those Cowboys?
Dub. Can you rip off a how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys? How about them?
Give me like a burly voice.
How about them Cowboys?
There we go. 24-6, the final score. Oh, but Dan Campbell is so cool and so interesting. And the Lions and kneecaps and blah, blah, blah. They're 1-5. All right, let it go.
Take it easy.
This team stinks. Like, nobody gets more credit for losing.
The Lions, than Dan Campbell. I understand it turned into a 24-6 game. The Lions had a shot here in the fourth quarter.
It was definitely not a 24-6 game, no, to your point. Yes. And I'm not trying to like take laps off of that, but I've been saying this about Dan Campbell for a while. Again, he has like funny lines, and so that buys him some leeway in the media. But like why are we impressed? You know, that with this. Like, this is not a good team. I understand DeAndre Swift is out. Amon-Ra St. Brown was knocked out of the game with a concussion. Hopefully he's all right. It was a bumpy start for Dak Prescott. First full game that he's played this season. Obviously was injured in the season opener. Finished 19 of 25, 207 yards. Did have a touchdown late in the game, his first one of the year. Very positive. I mean, it was the Cowboys had to have this game. They had to knock the rust off. You know what I mean? And the fact that they won while they did it, I mean, it's a very positive step.
Ugly wins are wins too. I didn't watch this game super closely just because I was checking out other games. I know you got it.
Wow.
Did Dak look all right, or are there concerns of him moving forward? That's the main question.
I mean, I think he looked all right relative to context. Right, like I think he, you know, you saw the normal kind of zip on the ball that the Cooper Rush does not have, to be frank. You know what I mean? And so, you know, were there accuracy issues at times? Sure, he threw it at triple coverage twice in the first half, and every Cowboys fan was harping on that. But he moved the ball. I mean, he moved the offense, and they were fortunate that they started with some you know, advantageous field position at the end of this game that helped kind of muddy the score. The Lions committed a turnover on their final four possessions of the game. So that was not great. Obviously they committed 5 second half turnovers, the Lions, but they're super well coached, these Detroit Lions. Oh man, let me tell you.
I think the Lions was a
rusty game for Dak.
What you're annoyed
but,
about.
But again, like
you am I you're annoyed? Just no, I think I know why you're saying about all the Lions stuff, because it's a team consensus across the NFL that we all really want to be this cool, new, fun, good thing. And they're just not there yet. You know, maybe it's a year away.
And it's okay to say that they're not. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to hold on to this. Like, oh, well, maybe, no, they're not. Yeah. They stink.
Yeah, they're 1-5. It's hard to
say. I will say, the one interesting wrinkle to this Cowboys season that I did not fully expect, I hesitate. Oh, by the way, a report from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. We didn't talk about this at the Giants game. Evan Neal left the game. Mm. He is believed, according to ESPN, to have a grade 2 MCL sprain.
Okay.
Certainly, you know, rooting for him and
hoping
for
the best.
Sprain is
better than a, you know, torn, right? You can maybe work.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but yeah. Last thing I was going to say on the Cowboys, Zeke Elliott's having a somewhat resurgent year. Like, I'm not like, oh, you know, keep him around or anything like that. But he had a hurdle in this game. It was like, for a moment, it was like vintage Zeke.
Feels like a 3-year, $60 million contract waiting to happen.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
Tennessee Titans destroyed the frauds. The frauds.
There's another
fraud. Indianapolis Colts.
There's a report this morning too, and I'm just seeing it now from Albert Breer. Scouts believe that Colts quarterback Matt Ryan's arm is, quote, shot. Added, it definitely looks like he has to work harder to get the ball where he wants to go. This is a team that beat the Chiefs.
Was super obvious. That was super obvious when they traded for him.
This is a team that beat the Chiefs. Mm-hmm.
That. Seriously, dude, like,
what?
Tough scene.
What? If the Chiefs are tied with the Bills at the end of the year, because the Bills are going to have the tiebreaker, they are going to be sick about that. Sick.
Do you know, Pete, that the Tennessee Titans did not score an offensive touchdown in this game? Do you know that?
I didn't know
that. And they won. They won. All right. I mean, seriously, the Colts thought they were cute because they survived the Broncos on Thursday Night Football because they beat the crummy Jaguars. This team sucks. All right, the Lions stink, but the Colts suck. I mean, like, what a joke of a team. I feel so happy. I feel vindicated. I'm selfish. I'm wrong.
No, not that one. Not that one. Come on, we don't have to sing that one.
I feel so happy about this. Colts getting exposed. It's good times.
Yeah, you're that type of guy. You love to celebrate in misery, in other folks' misery. Somehow the Colts are 3-3-1, which is absolutely nuts. But yeah, the Titans are a team that is also similar to what I was saying about the Bengals, where they really didn't have a great start to the year, and now they're really, I think, back in the mix, and they have a little bit of a tough stretch in front of them. But I tend to think that they have righted the ship and figure out who they are a little bit without AJ Brown, and I think we're seeing the results of that. The Tennessee Titans, you know, we know going in are a better team than what the Colts have presented on film and such, and they were able to pull out the victory.
The Titans are the what best team in the AFC in your mind?
It just depends on where you put.
We go Bills, Chiefs.
It goes Bills, Chiefs.
Number three.
I'm going to say Bengals. I don't. You might disagree with that.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm
Ravens. Yeah, Ravens, and then you're just arguing with each other on are the Jets good enough to put ahead of the Titans, I think.
To go back to 538's quarterback adjusted ELO forecast playoff percentages, the Titans are right behind the Giants. It's not like just because they have higher odds of making the playoffs doesn't make them better, but they have the Tennessee Titans currently have a 77% chance of making the playoffs, a 67% chance of winning the division. In fact, they have the fourth best odds of winning their division. They have a higher probability of winning their division than the Eagles do or the Bucks do.
Didn't realize you were such a big Nate Silver guy, but I do like it.
I'm a big math guy.
You do love math. I've seen, I've seen you talk about math. I've seen you add and subtract before. You know, you like chess, which I think has some math involved in it. So
the Titans have a higher probability of winning the Super Bowl than the Bucks or the Niners or the Rams.
So I'm looking at the Titans schedule. I just wanted to pull it up because I wasn't refreshed on it, but they lost to the Giants and the Bills. Which right now,
those are certainly respectable losses.
We thought the Giants were not, but they've turned into a respectable loss, and they've ripped off wins against the Raiders, the Colts, the Commanders, and the Colts again. I don't know why they're playing the Colts this early twice, but
The Colts have already played two teams twice in their division. I think they're dealt with like 5 of 6 divisional games already.
The next stretch will tell you something about it, and you got to go a little bit deeper with them because they have the Texans and Broncos involved. So it goes Texans, Chiefs on Sunday night, Broncos. So you're at minimum there 2-1. You got to beat the Texans and the Broncos. If you lose to the Chiefs, whatever. Then you have the Packers, the Bengals, and the Eagles. How you get out of the 6-game stretch is going to determine, you know, what you are this season. And
it is going to be the most Titans thing of all time and Chiefs thing of all time for Tennessee to win in Kansas City at GEHA Field, just so you know.
People in Kansas City love that. They love it.
The New York Jets got a dub. All right, the Yankees stink. Mets stink. Those Giants and Jets, though, baby. All right,
I don't know if the Yankees stink. They had a rough go in the championship series. A lot of unhappy people in New York too, with Aaron Judge talking about the Yankees in the past tense already. That's not going over too well at this stage.
All rise. There was no Russell Wilson for the Denver Broncos, but there was a Zach Wilson for the New York Jets. I mean, this wasn't like an impressive game. It was unfortunate that Breece Hall left. And again, it looks like his season is over. When he left, he had 4 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown.
62-yard touchdown. Looked
incredible.
Offensive player of the year level before going down. And so he's not going to get that award now. It looks like his season's over with the ACL. But Michael Carter's
The good news for the Jets, I mean, not to interrupt you, but like Michael Carter is not a bad player.
No.
I hate to be that like cold about it, but like, it sucks, but
you can win with Carter.
That's what I'm saying. The Jets are in an interesting spot. I mean, they're kind of cute.
Well, the most interesting thing I think about the Jets is the defense, right? Sauce Gardner looks like a world beater. Targeted 9 times, you know, only allowed 3 catches for what was 8 yards. I don't think this game answered any questions about the Denver Broncos because it's a game without Russ Wilson. If Russ Wilson is as bad as he's looked and unhealthy, what are the Broncos anyway? They're nothing. They're not going to do anything. It's continuing to try to find out, is this legit? The questions in New York are the same. Are these teams legit? Like, are the Giants really this 6-1 team? Are the Jets really this 5-2 team? I think the Jets are interesting. I don't know how far you can go with Zach Wilson. I think you still need to see some progress from him, but certainly looks like a team that can make the playoffs.
By the way, I just saw this as you were speaking pop up into my feed. I hadn't seen this yet. Have you seen this video of the official Jeff Lamberth and Trip Sutter, the officials, I should say, after the Bucks loss?
No, what did
they walk up? They walk up to Mike Evans and ask for an autograph.
No.
Tom Pelissero just tweeted that the NFL is reviewing the incident. I know what review is necessary. We could see the video right here. The Broncos, I mean, they stink out loud. I mean, like, this is really bad.
Did Mike Evans provide the autograph, or did he?
Yeah, he signs it in this video.
Okay.
I can't tell, but it looks like he's signing like some sort of sheet, like maybe something that the official was carrying the whole game. Like, it's not like he whips out like an Evans jersey or something.
Maybe
the
official said, in all my games officiating, I have never seen a worse dropped ball than the one that you dropped in front of me.
Right.
And I want you to sign this game sheet.
The Bronx, like, you're in London. Give me a London voice.
Hello there. Want to have some tea?
You're in London watching your Big beloved Tottenham Hotspur.
Hotspur.
Hotspurs are really falling off, by the way. Not great.
Yeah, it's a tough scene.
Not great.
And we tell you that we love you and that we want to grow the game. In fact, you know, we're thinking about putting an NFL team in London and we're giving you Broncos Jaguars. What? Like, why? Like, what? why do we do this? Like, it's so mean. Dude, there were some reports early Sunday morning during the national dumps about the Broncos, maybe like, you know, some players being on the trade block. Like, this has gotten like, it's not even off the rails. Like, this has reached like Armageddon levels at an insanely quick pace. Like, I think we could be like, I'm not predicting like they cut Russell Wilson or something in the offseason, but like, I don't think anything is off the table anymore. Like,
Russell Wilson is not a starting quarterback right now. He just is not. And I don't know what you're going to do after signing him for 5 year. What is it? 5 years, 260. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that? I also think that Hackett's going to be one and done because it's a disaster. This was supposed to be the turnaround year. We finally have a quarterback. We finally have the head coach in place. Remember when Hackett was at the press conference and just beaming that they got Russell Wilson?
Well, he had the line that was like he specifically stopped himself from cursing. What was
he
was like, curse. Holy shit, we got Russell Wilson.
I think he
was
did
really
curse.
Like,
yeah, and And it's been a disaster. And I think he's going to go one and done. Like you have to give Russ Wilson another year, no matter what this looks like, because you're so invested in it. Normally I don't say that. Like normally I'm like, cut your losses, but it's really tough to cut your 5-year, $260 million loss. So I think there'll be another coach in place.
It's really awkward how there's still so much like work done to protect Russ. You know what I mean? Like all the reports about him missing this game were like the 9-time Pro Bowl.
I know that you have
did everything he could.
What about the Subway commercial? I know you have a take on that.
I don't. Wow. But I think that we should somebody should have to eat that thing. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I want to see somebody have to eat that sandwich. Like Russell should have to eat that sandwich. Do you remember that when Stats interviewed him here on the SB Nation NFL show, he had a sandwich and he signed it. I don't know if you remember that. And it was like a special edible marker. Like the ink was edible on the marker. And like who would have that?
I can't believe he lied to Rob's face like that. That was something.
Well, let's go ahead and speaking of Rob and like bad feelings, the Kansas City Chiefs and the home of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
44-23. Christian McCaffrey, dude, don't wear number 23. Looks awkward. Looks stupid. I don't like it.
He wants to be the Jordan of the NFL. I don't blame him for that.
Jeremy Pena is the Jordan of the MLB. But anyway, not happening here.
This was 44-23, but you know, it was closer than that.
That's what I was going to say. So you know what this is like when you play at noon, like it's rare for our teams, but you get all your work done. Then you kind of are able to land into halftime of the afternoon games.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I landed, I was like, okay, it's kind of an interesting game. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, bam, does the Cristiano Ronaldo. Sweet! And then all of a sudden, bam, it's 44-23 and the Niners are lost in the abyss.
A big thing of this, and Mitch Schwartz, the former chief who does some media stuff now here in Kansas City locally, he tweeted out that the Chiefs really had a nice game plan for how to stop Nick Bosa, you know, whether it be chips or running the other way or running right at him. And it got, you know, Bosa was dominating early, but then it got into the mental game of it and they were able to equalize it. And then they used Mecole Hardman in a really creative way. And this guy Hardman, he's a unique wide receiver in the sense that he's really good on these jet sweeps and that changes the game. And not only when they do hand it off to him, but now you've created a situation where this is on film and Andy Reid is a mastermind. So now the people are going to be preparing for Hardman to get the football all the time. And then it's going to be Mahomes keeping it and throwing it to Travis Kelce or something like that. Or, you know, we saw them throw it to Juju Smith-Schuster. Really nice, I think, for the Chiefs to see Smith-Schuster emerge. We had been waiting to see Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling be, I would suppose, proper
contributors
to replace Tyreek Hill. This was the first time the Chiefs had two receivers over 100 yards since 2000. So J.P. Acosta was even born. I don't even know if he was born at that point.
So this was the new streak when they had no receivers catching a touchdown or whatever it was?
This is just simply wide receiver production. They've had one wide receiver go over 100 yards.
I know. I mean, again, you just could have gone along with the joke, but
yeah, whatever. No, look, Dwayne Bowe was on the team at that time. I don't, you know, it's bad memories, but anyway, this was a really good win. And it's a reminder of what Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes can do when things get clicking, you know, it can turn into this game. That's a game in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was only 28-23 after the Kittle touchdown. And then you blink and it's 44-23 and the Chiefs drop a 40 burger on the number one defense in the NFL. They got to feel good about it, but you're also scoreboard watching. You got to see if the Buffalo Bills can lose a game or two here. And you need to have that better outright record. So it's going to be watching the Bills all season long.
I'm not like happy for the Chiefs, but I've definitely had some bad blood towards them over the last few years. You know, call that like the friendly
hot
rivalry of the show. No, but I've been back, all right? Like I've been Team Chiefs. You said I was an honorary Kingdom member, you know, a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy to see, like I appreciated their approach. I think of all the teams who traded away receivers, like we've talked a lot about obviously like the Packers are struggling without Devontae Adams. Obviously the Titans are struggling without AJ Brown. The Chiefs are the only one who were like, oh, well, we've lost something. So like we have to like replenish, right? Like they're the only ones who like actually did that.
And you gotta win. You gotta win a little differently. And
right,
I think they're still figuring that out.
And I'm not saying that either of these players are Tyreek Hill, obviously, but like they restocked, right? So like in this week or the last few weeks, it's felt like ever since the Monday night game against Vegas, it's been like the Juju show, the MVS show's coming along, Sky Moore. you know, had the whatever, but still, like, that show will, there will be a Sky Moore game eventually. You know what I'm saying? Like, Miko, this is the Miko Hardman game, like, in one way. The Chiefs find a way, and I think you can always kind of trust that. And I think people forget that. I mean, I don't know why. On the Niners side of things, this felt like their clear ceiling. You know what I mean? Like, they clearly have a limitation on them. They don't have the horses to run with, you know, some of the best offenses in the NFL. They're 3-4 now, dude. I mean, this is, you know, it's not panic time, obviously, but they have the Rams next week who are coming off their bye, and then they have their own bye, and then they have the Chargers and then the Cardinals. And I'm not worried about the Cardinals for them, but still, I mean, that's for a team that's 3-4 trying to figure out their new identity offensively with Christian McCaffrey. Like,
I know it sounds crazy, but
like Tampa, but it's just bleh.
Watching McCaffrey though yesterday, you know, play after being with the organization for a day and a half was very, very impressive. And I think they're going to really find a way to maximize him. I know it sounds crazy, but watching this 44-23 game, I think the 49ers have what it takes to turn it around. Their defense was still a little bit banged up in this game, and just the weapons of McCaffrey and Kittle and Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, it's too much to think this team is not going to find a way to at least make the postseason. I don't know if they're going to win the division. I mean, look at my Hawks right now, just going at it. But I think they'll be in the playoffs.
By the way, I haven't read Albert Breer's Monday morning column, but I just saw on Twitter, according to him, the Rams' final offer for Christian McCaffrey, have you read this?
I have not.
Was 4 draft picks and Cam Akers. Rams are trying like crazy to get rid of Cam Akers. I mean, it's we still haven't really heard like an explanation for that. You know what I mean? Like, why did like all of a sudden he just fall so far out of favor with them? I don't know.
If I'm guessing, it seemed like he was gonna be the guy, and then got back and they drafted a back who got hurt, and it's been more of a combination of him and Henderson. And Cam Akers does not look great. He looks like he's tracking mud or sludging through mud every time he runs the football. And so McVay made the adjustment, it seemed like, and I don't know how well that went over.
The Las Vegas Raiders picked up their second win of the season on Sunday afternoon, 38-20, the final score against the Houston Texans. This might have been two of the 5 best running backs in the NFL right now. I mean, like, Josh Jacobs, 20 carries, 143, 3 touchdowns. Damian Pierce didn't score, you know, but still had 20 carries for 92 yards. I don't know that any of us have any like dramatic takeaways from this. I guess like the Raiders are less bad than the Texans. I mean, that's kind of it.
Yeah. I think it's just been a crazy story. What a resurgence for Josh Jacobs, who the Raiders wouldn't really commit to. And he's just looked great. I mean, he's looked as good as he used to look back in the day. I think maybe the Raiders are similar to the Chiefs, because they were on the other side of that, where they acquired this all world receiver as opposed to trading away. Maybe LV is realizing they can be run first, even with Devontae Adams. Like, I think we just assumed, oh, you got to hit Adams 41 times a game, like Rodgers did, to maximize him. But, you know, maybe it isn't that way. Maybe it's more of, well, he's such a threat, you can be more of a complete team with it. Carr was 7 of 8 for 109 yards on play action passes. And I think that confusion of, we have this really great running back who can run it down your throats, or we have the best wide receiver in the NFL, and you're never going to know which way we're going to go. I think that's their offense, and maybe they're finding it. A little bit of a hole for them, though, right? What are they, 2-4? So they'll have to dig out of that. And then on the other side, the only thing you can take away, as you were saying, is Pierce. And now that Breece Hall is injured, it certainly looks like Pierce is going to run away with the offensive player of the year.
I just don't. Yeah, I agree with that on Pierce. But I just don't buy the Raiders, dude. I mean, again, like,
you have to talk to Bill about that then, I guess.
22% chance of making the playoffs at this point. Behind, these are teams ahead of the Raiders in terms of playoff probabilities. The Cardinals, the Packers, the Falcons, the Patriots, the Colts, the Rams, the Jets. I mean, the Jets are awesome. The Niners. I hate the Colts with a fiery passion. It just feels like a waste. Like, it feels like we've just wasted so much time with the Raiders. Like, you know, the Raiders have like the biggest moment in Raiders history was their like lap around GEHA field after they beat
the Chiefs. Well, back then it was only Arrowhead Stadium, but I'd agree with you. Susie Colbert on Countdown to Monday night called it the G, which is not going over well. So,
Okay, let's move on. Two more games left before we give our Monday Night Football predictions. Save this for the end, because I don't think like the Chargers deserve to be talked about anymore. Like, I'm just like, why? Like, why? Like, again, this is one thing. Let's hear some RJ props. I was never in the way anybody else was in. All right. Like we have to stop. Like, again, like they're the Lions to a higher degree, you know, like why they just got destroyed by the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are somewhat good. So good for them.
Seahawks.
But like, this is a really bad performance for the Chargers.
Ken
37
Walker.
To 23.
Ken Walker looks great. Pete Carroll has been waiting for years to not have a quarterback that everyone wants to see throw so he can run the football down the other team's throats. They have that now with Geno Smith. Everyone wrote off, but he didn't write back. And 23 for 168 for two touchdowns for Walker. And then the Chargers look in shambles. And it does seem like Brandon Staley is going to be on the hot seat.
This is Sean Payton's team.
Yeah.
Right. It like does this, seem that this way. Is like if we have to pick the Sean Payton spot right now, it's the Chargers.
Chargers. Right? And, you know, it's become a little bit of a joke and it's a super sad joke, but like the Chargers medical team, these players just get hurt every year. You had JC Jackson leaving the game. It looked like a significant injury. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen left with injuries. On the other side, I joked about the Hawks being my team this year and I was going to root for them because they'd have these really boring games and, you know, maybe they would go 500, but they seem interesting. And the West, it does seem like is wide open.
They're first place in the NFC West right now.
Seattle forced a turnover on downs in the opening drive, then an interception and then a fumble recovery. And they were actually winning this game 17-0 at a certain point. The Chargers were able to get back into it at 17-14. You know, at that point, when you're the Seahawks, right, you're up 17-0. It can get to 17-14. You could crumble at that point. I know what you're saying about the Chargers, how they've been so disappointing. But what do they do?
I don't give them credit for that.
They scored 10 more points, extend lead to 27-14, and then just continue to add points all day, all the way until the 74-yard touchdown by Walker to make it 37-16. And this thing was lights out over. And terrible loss for L.A., but one of these emerging victories, I think, for Seattle. And, you know, we've been asking questions about the Giants and the Jets in Seattle. Seattle, to me, they're managing to win games and do it in a fashion that makes you think you can consistently do it, in my opinion. And so Pete Carroll and Geno and Ken get the come up of the week for me, for Seattle.
Good. Go Hawks. Go respect. Hawks. The Chargers, I mean, they have four wins against the Raiders. Nah. Against the Texans, bleh, which was kind of close. Against the Browns, which was super close, so meh. And then against the Broncos, which was really close and kind of sad and pathetic. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a more hollow team in the NFL right now than the Chargers. I mean, the fact that they have four wins is embarrassing. They're on their bye, but afterwards, at Atlanta, who's kind of cute and kind of spunky, at San Francisco, who, you know, will at least be a little bit more figured out by then. That game's on Sunday Night Football. That'll be fun. They got Kansas City at home. Ooh, watch out over to Justin Herbert. No, Patrick Mahomes will end this. All right. And then at Arizona, at Vegas, then Miami. That's tough. Tennessee, that's tough. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think they're going to the playoffs. I'm willing to say right now, not a playoff team.
And if they're not, Staley's out. Right? Like, we're okay to say that.
I mean, yeah. I think I'm ready to say, like, Staley's out now. Like, what does he do that makes them better?
Well, if they're able to turn this around and make the postseason.
No, but, like, their defense stinks. That's supposed to be his thing. Yeah, like, they stink out loud. All right.
Stink out loud always cracks me up.
Yeah, I know. Last game before Monday night picks, the Miami Dolphins outlasted the Pittsburgh Steelers. Give us the Dolphins sound. You're so good at it. 16-10, the final score. Tua Tagovailoa back, 21-35, 261 yards and a touchdown. Kenny Pickett threw the ball 44 times. He was back as well. Three of them interceptions. Not a great day for him. Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 72 yards. Jalen Waddle, 4 catches, 88 yards. Raheem Mostert had the lone touchdown through the air. Actually, own lone touchdown for the Dolphins in general. This was kind of okay, whatever. The coolest part to me was the Dolphins honoring this 1972 team that turns 50 this year and wearing the throwback uniforms.
Tua needs to start sliding. You're going to hear that hot take, but it's true. It's, you can't even watch it. It's so tough to see him dive into another player's body. Four dropped interceptions by the Steelers. So this could have been completely different. And the Steelers, if they're going to win games, they're going to have to do it on defense as Kenny Pickett develops. I think the question that you have if you're Pittsburgh is, does Kenny Pickett win this game like 10 games from now? I mean, he clearly needs experience. Not everyone's Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen, where they just take the league by storm. A lot of times your franchise quarterback is going to go through these problems early where you throw these interceptions in the game. I think he's showing some promise there, but he just needs games of experience, and this is this rebuilding year for Pittsburgh that we've never experienced before because Mike Tomlin's been so good. But that's what it is this year. Miami needs to be better, and Tua needs to be better.
Go ahead. On the subject of Pittsburgh, so obviously everybody talks about Mike Tomlin's 500, like record above 500 streak or whatever. So they're 2-5, which means that in today's NFL, 9 losses is below 500. There's no more. We talked about that at the beginning with your embarrassing math lesson. So 4 more losses cements that streak coming to an end. So these are the Steelers' remaining games. At Philadelphia.
Loss.
Okay. By New Orleans.
I don't know.
Cincinnati at home.
Loss.
At Indianapolis. Yeah, no, I'm with you. at Atlanta. Kind of a coin flip, right? You can kind of see it going either way.
Yeah. Baltimore.
Baltimore. That's L. 3.
That's a loss.
At Carolina.
They can win that game. Yeah,
whatever. Vegas.
They can win that one.
Again, kind of a coin flip. And then at Baltimore.
They should lose that game again.
Right. So there's the fourth. So my point is, though, they'll kind of be in the mix, you know, in December.
If they get one of those games that they shouldn't get, they could go 9-8, which would be incredible. Like, it really would be incredible, especially starting 2-5.
Can you give me a Chicago Bears and a Chicago accent?
Oh, man. No more curse in Chicago. And they got no more Garcia Bear back. Anyway, wow.
Okay.
Oh, man. Sheesh.
They are 8-point underdogs on the road against the New England Patriots tonight.
Really,
Bill Belichick can break.
What do they sound like?
They can break the tie with, or Bill Belichick can break the tie with George Halas. Most wins as an NFL head coach, moving to second place all time by himself. Who you got? Who covers? Take it. I'll take the Patriots to win and to cover. Easy. Boom.
What's the spread?
8 points.
Chicago stinks. I'll go with the Patriots too. I want to take Chicago with the points because it feels like a trap. Because you're getting Mac Jones back from injury, right? But
return of the Mac.
But I have to go.
I guarantee you that ESPN bumps into the game at some point with that, like before his first offensive possession.
Oh yeah. ESPN's like the hip channel of the NFL. You know, they got the Manning cast, they got the funky graphics, they have the music. It might even be a sit down with Mac where they kind of play it too, if Bill Belichick allowed it. Mm. Yeah. I think this
and
is
there'll be like a headline, like a graphic, like return of the Mac. And then they'll be like, oh, like the song.
8 points feels right. I don't know which way to go, but I guess I'm leaning New England. Vegas right. Is getting us on this one.
All right. It is time to bring in the perfect, the immaculate, the infallible Rachelle Prevett, who once again is perfect in every conceivable way. Rachelle, first of all, your big takeaways from Sunday's NFL action, then your thoughts on what we had to say, and then, of course, the MF double MVP.
My biggest two takeaways were definitely top running back and Josh Jacobs. I thought that was one of the biggest takeaways from this week. Mm-hmm. The fact that in 6 games, he has 111 carries for 633 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's a 3rd in NFL in rushing yards, 8th in yards per carry among running backs, and tied for 2nd in running touchdowns. Also, shout out to RJ. I thought that the Cowboys defense did a really, really good job. So shout out to them for having 5 takeaways in the second half. That was really impressive. So those were my biggest takeaways. And then, of course, like Tom Brady, like this is a weird place for him. Like Pete was mentioning earlier, I think that it's just we've never seen him like this. So it's just kind of weird. It's very, very weird. So those were my biggest takeaways. Shout out to JP for coming in and saving the day. Because, yes, we needed him.
Hot start.
Because Pete messed up.
Right. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did. You always do stuff. Your sound effects were on point,
okay,
as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And what else? What was the last part?
The MFWVP. What do you mean that? What was the last part?
I'm gonna give it to JP today because
that's fair.
We needed him. Show wouldn't have went on if it wasn't for JP. So I'm gonna give it to him today.
Did you look up his highlights while we were on?
I did not. No, I was trying to take my notes.
Wow.
I will after this though.
So let's be clear. The record books will show JP as the winner. But if you had to pick between Pete and I today, who would win?
I'm probably gonna go with RJ today.
Let's go.
If I had to pick it, go to JP, but If I had to choose, I would have went to RJ. He's asleep, okay.
Pete, your thoughts on finishing third?
I don't have any thoughts. We're going to come back stronger next week.
That's okay. That's all good. We like it.
We don't put up bronze medals in the South, so that's all.
Except for when the Chiefs choke away the AFC Championship, like they did last year.
They tied for third last year. Third place in the league. So there's no third place
game. Did
they
really tie for third? Like were they better than the Niners last year? I feel like the Niners.
Yeah, but you know they don't play a consolation for third place.
So actually, let's think about it that way. Yesterday was the battle for last season's third place medal.
Okay.
And the Chiefs won.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying.
Good to be in sync with the home club. We both won bronze medals this Sunday Monday stretch. So good for us.
All right. Congratulations to the Houston Astros and nobody else. Rachel, you're the best. JP, you're the best. Pete, you are mediocre at best. Rachel, give us a sound. It can be an animal or any sound in the world that Pete has to make as we leave.
Any sound in the world.
Yeah, last week you said a helicopter. So like,
let's. That was a good one.
It was good, but let's get a little bit more random. Let's challenge more Pete. Random? He's very good at this.
You have to make the sound of bubbles.
Let's go, Phillies.